bless you and at the same time rip your heart out in some of the instances when they realize you're from the church and they're telling you what's going on. And can I pray for you? And you can just walk over to the side and pray with them. It's a wonderful experience. It blesses you more than it blesses the others. And you get to learn so much about your neighbors, because I can be honest, we give out, in the 2 hours, I probably give out 60 of those invitations. Anybody that stuck anything in the kettle got an invitation, if they would take it. But there weren't but 5 or 6 people I know. All the rest of them, I don't know who they are. You know? But they've been invited to our church now. And they've seen our church in the community active, gathering for Salvation Army. And everybody knows Salvation Army is a decent 501c3, you know, help people and et cetera. Doing things like that connects us with the community and lets them see us and us see them. And it's wonderful. And I just applaud you for that, Phyllis. Thank you for getting us involved in that. Okay. Any other prayers or praises? Yes, ma'am.
I'm just a visitor, but I...
No, you're not. You're a sister of God, and you're here with your brothers and sisters.
Well, thank you, and I am a sister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved many years ago, and I have loved him, and he's loved me. But we have came here this year to Lakeland, and we've came to a mess, but... In everything, God has proven to be true and faithful, and he has came through with that to us in every way. And I am so thankful, and I am so blessed. My husband and I both, we've learned that we've come to a community where we're loved and cared about, and in all things, they've came through and helped us. And I know it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Morning, Ray. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. I'm sure that you have seen on the news some of the things we need to be praying for, such as the people that were killed in that robbery, the UPS driver and the innocent person in the car, as well as the police officers that had to go through that in Miami area, the two shootings at the two different military bases, and those lives that were taken that we need to pray for. Just the situation in the world that we need to lift up. So we want to remember those things. We're also asked to pray for Dwayne Eshelman. He's having surgery Friday, December the 13th for an aneurysm in the groin. So we want to pray for him. He's in New York, is that correct? Okay. For Susan Higginson, is that correct? This was this one that Shirley was telling us about with the blood clot that broke foot. Oh, so you're trying to hide this, huh? Joe Brady apparently is having eye surgery on Thursday. We getting a lens put in? Cataract surgery? Okay. We'll pray for you old people. I mean, we'll pray for you, Joe. Any other prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Your son-in-law's having the gallbladder out. Okay. Charlie, all right. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come to your throne of grace this day. And as we do, we're in this busy Christmas season. Shopping and parties and plans and everything going on in our life, and we come to you today. This morning, help us to quiet ourselves and to center ourselves in you. Help us to realize that the true meaning of Christmas is not in all the activities that are going on, but in the love of Jesus Christ and the fact that you loved us so much that you sent him to this earth. Thank you for the praises and the reminders that we have been given today that have told us that you work in every circumstance and that you're always there with us and that nothing's a surprise to you and that you will see us through into the safety of your arms every time. As we come, we have heard some, I'm going to use the word miracles, Lord. Miracles as you have allowed Kenneth to be moved back to Lakeland and is doing well enough that he's not in an ICU room or anything. And Lord, we're praying for his continued recovery. Even though the doctors can't understand it, we do. It's you, and we praise you for that. As we come, we lift these others before you that have been mentioned this day. Charlie, who will be having a gallbladder out. Dwayne, who will be undergoing surgery shortly for Susan, who has undergone some surgery. And thank you for the miraculous way that you brought her back. And for Joe Brady. And we pray for each of them that you would be with them and that you would guide the doctors and the caregivers and the surgeons who may be attending them. And Lord, that you would just allow the outcomes of these surgeries to be positive. We pray for those that are recovering. Think of Joe Moon and Ray Strait, Roy Bodemeyer, and others that are, Karen, that are undergoing rehabilitation even now. Just ask that you would be with them as they strengthen and that you would continue to allow their bodies to recuperate. And Lord, you know the other things going on. The surreal events that have happened this week with this robbery in Miami and the shootings at the military bases and other things going on. Lord, we just lift each of those that have lost loved ones, each of those that have been affected by this, each of our law enforcement and military people that had to witness all of this, as well as civilians in some cases. And Lord, we just ask you to be with them. Be with them in a special way. Hold them close. Those families that have lost loved ones, would just ask that you would just pour your love out upon them. May your church, your people, even now be holding them up in prayer as well as assisting them if they need assistance in any way. As we pray, we know there are many others in our community that need help. We see it on a regular basis in the office. Those that need help keeping their lights on, or those that may need help putting food on the table, those that don't even have a place to live, or their transportation is iffy, if at all. We lift all of these before you that are in need and ask that you would help the agencies that are in our communities that respond to these to be able to help them in some way. Or Lord, maybe that agency is not something like the Salvation Army. Maybe it's one of us sitting here that is our neighbor or someone we know or a coworker. And maybe you put it on our heart to help them. Help us to be sensitive to that and obey. Lord, now as we come to you, we just give you thanks. We pray that you would just open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to receive your word this day. We ask it all in the matchless name of Christ who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I believe I told you last week that I was going to try to concentrate on Mary, Joseph, and the baby, and we're up to the Sunday where it's going to be Joseph. So we're going to read the story of Joseph found in Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. So I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Have you ever noticed that the Christmas story is only found in Matthew and Luke? You know, the other two Gospels don't have anything about it. Not a whole lot about it in the Acts or anything like that. So we got to piece together two stories here to come up with the Christmas story. And let me do that just a little bit. And I guess if we're going to start the Christmas story, we really got to start with Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist, as Zechariah was ministering in the temple and the angel appeared to him and said, "Hey, you're going to have a kid, you know?" And Zechariah said, "Yeah, right." You know, and said, "Okay, because you don't believe me, you're going to be deaf and dumb until it happens." And sure enough, he left the temple, went home. Elizabeth got pregnant. And then, you know, the angel appeared to Mary, and within that discourse that the angel had with Mary, he mentioned to her that her, we think it was a cousin, her relative Elizabeth was pregnant. And have you ever noticed this? Apparently, when the angel appears to Mary and she's told this, apparently she doesn't tell Joseph that the angel visited her and she's pregnant. The next thing we know is she takes off and she's gone to see Elizabeth. And she stays with Elizabeth for a few months. We don't know how long. You remember that story as Mary walks in and the baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb. And then Mary comes back. Well, now my imagination takes over, okay? This is the Bible according to Steve. You know, let's say Mary's took her a month to get together, went down, stayed 3 months, come back. So let's say she's along 5 months pregnant now when she comes back, and she hasn't told Joseph about her dream or her pregnancy yet, because, you know, they didn't have telephones back then. She didn't text anybody. She couldn't telegraph them, you know. So she comes back. What do you reckon Joseph thought when he saw her? "Hey, Mary, you put on some weight, haven't you?" Now, this is just my active imagination. I wonder, did she say, "Hey, Joseph, we need to have a talk"? Or did Joseph say, "Mary, what's going on with the weight thing"? Or maybe even it didn't happen that way. Maybe Mary came back and one of Joseph's friends or family saw her and they went and said, "Hey, Joe, Mary looks kind of like she's pregnant." Guess what? We don't know. But no matter how he found out, whether she told him or whether somebody else, what do you think he felt like? He was in shock, wasn't he? He was probably, number one, hurt. Number two, possibly angry, possibly mad. I can imagine he felt much like we feel in situations when we go through things like this. When we go through a divorce or a breakup. When we lose a job. When we hear a doctor say, "I can't do any more for you," or say to you about your loved ones, "Let's turn the machines off." I can imagine Joseph felt that same way, that gut-wrenching, soul-searching. What happens? What do I do now? You see, we often take the Christmas story and we think about all the good and all the happy things with a birth and pregnancy and child, but we forget that God's there within this gut-wrenching moment too. I can imagine Joseph. I can imagine him going to the temple. Let's take temple out. Let's say church. Let's do something we can understand. I can imagine him coming in and said, "Hey, preacher, is the church open?" "Yeah." "Can I go over?" And coming down here to this altar and just prostrating himself and just tears coming out. "God, what do I do? God, how could this happen? God, you know, she's come to me with this story that she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit. God, you know that's garbage. You know, come on, Lord, is this true? What do I do?" Because, you see, here's the other thing. Under the law, in theory, Mary was supposed to be taken out and stoned to death. Joseph was sort of under obligation in some ways to let the religious authorities know what was going on, and their directive would have been to stone her. But Scripture tells us Joseph was a righteous man, which means he wants to do the right thing. And he wasn't going to do that. It says he didn't want to, it glosses over it. It says he didn't want to shame her publicly. But it goes even a little further than that. He didn't want to shame her publicly. He also didn't want her to be killed. And that would have killed the child too. So Joseph comes to this decision, if you will, it tells us, that he's going to put her away quietly. In today's words, "I'm going into the next county where they don't know me, and we're going to file for irreconcilable differences, and this marriage thing's going to be over." Now, somebody's saying, "Well, she wasn't married yet." Well, she was betrothed, the same thing in the Jewish. You know, the ceremony hadn't taken place yet, but according to the Jewish law, once you became betrothed, and once you signed the contracts and stuff, you might as well be married. You just ain't living together yet, okay? So he says, "I'm going to go put her away silently." And then it says, just as he had decided to do that, that night he had a dream. You know, Matthew uses dreams a lot. But Joseph's going to have this dream, and an angel's going to come to him, and the angel's going to tell him in this, "Joseph, it's okay. The child is from the Holy Spirit. She hasn't cheated on you, basically. Go ahead and marry her." And you know what the scripture says? Look what it says in verse 24. "He awoke from his sleep and did as the Lord commanded him." He did it. I just wonder. Now, this is me again, Bible according to Steve. I wonder when that dream occurred, did he say, "Oh, finally you gave me an answer, Lord. Thank you for that." I wonder if he actually took it as an answer to the prayers that I can imagine he was praying. Because like I say, there are dreams throughout Matthew's presentation of the gospel, of the birth. There's a dream that's going to warn the Magi not to go back to Herod, and they're going to go home another way. There's going to be a dream somewhere around 2 years later where Joseph's going to be awoken in the middle of the night, basically, and told, "Get up, take your family, and get out of here, because Herod's fixing to kill everybody, and they're going to go to Egypt." And then when they hear Herod's dead, and they come back, but they know that his son is on the throne, and they're kind of worried, there's another dream that says, "Go to Nazareth, not to Bethlehem." So there's dreams all throughout it. And they all seem to be leading Joseph, if you will. And every time there is a dream, and every time he is led, he says, it says that he gets up and does it. Bam. No questions. No questions. Wow. What kind of faith does it take to do that? And notice something else. There's nowhere in Scripture or no tradition that I know of that says Joseph ever complained, moaned, or groaned about it. But let's put it in today's words and let's see what we would do. What would you think Joseph would do if he lived today and all of a sudden he had to leave Nazareth where he had a good business, you know. He was a carpenter, and he gets over there and now he's stuck in Bethlehem because Mary's delivering the baby. Can you imagine something like this? "If you wouldn't have got pregnant, I'd have had business. I have no business here. Nobody knows me. I can't even go back where I'm from. Nobody would deal with me anymore because of what you did." Yeah. Can you think like that? You know? Or let's say when they're going down to Egypt, I can imagine this for sure. Come on, Lord, it's your kid, not mine. What are you sending me to Egypt for? I don't like the Egyptians. They stink. The water tastes like crocodile scum, and it's hot all the time. There's nothing but sand down there. God, why are you sending me down here? Some of y'all laughing. But I can tell you that's what this kid would think. Now, y'all can go ahead and smooth it over and say, oh, I would never do that. Yeah, right, okay. We often take the humanity out of these stories. But think, he may not have said them. I don't know. We have no record. The only record we have is that he silently and obediently did everything he was to do without argument. I wonder how many other things he had to endure because of this child and because of marrying Mary. You know, how many other things could he have complained about? Probably a lot. But we don't have any record of that. Why? Why do you think he didn't complain? And this is the theologian's thing. Well, he loved God and he obeyed God, and it was the Jewish thing to obey God. Get real. It's the Christian thing for us to obey God too, and yet there are times, I ain't doing that, God. I don't care what you say. You know, I think he did it because he's one of the examples we see about love that we never think of. Just as I talked about, he was probably at the altar crying, saying, God, what should I do with Mary? In his soul, he felt that knife in there going round and round as he had decided to dismiss her. I think he had a love for Mary, a love that went beyond anything you and I can maybe imagine, if you will. I think he had a love for Jesus. I think he grew to love Jesus as his own. I think he thought of Jesus as his own. Even though he knew he was God's son, he still thought of him as his child. And I think he loved God. I think he loved God enough that he didn't question what God told him in a dream. Because don't you know today, if that happened, the first thing you're going to have to go see your shrink or your counselor, and they're going to tell you what dreams mean and how this didn't really mean anything from God. Am I right, Rob? Unless you go to a Christian counselor, and very few of them will tell you that God can speak through dreams, but he does. So I think Joseph shows us what real love can do and how real love can change people and how real love can affect others. What do you think God could do with a church full of Josephs that would silently and obediently obey as soon as he spoke today? Think about it a minute. If we'd done exactly what God wanted us to do as soon as he urged us, would I even be able to stand in front of this congregation, because it would be so fast we would have to have a bigger sanctuary? Or we would be making such a difference in the world that people would know who Lake Gibson was, because that church cares, because I've seen God move in their life. I've seen God do something from them. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. Certainly wasn't easy for Joseph. He ended up down in Egypt and then back in Nazareth. And you know, he died early. We know he died before Jesus started his ministry. We're pretty sure because, you know, Mary's there when the water's turned into wine, which is the beginning of the ministry, if you will. Or even when John baptized him in the River Jordan, there's no mention of Joseph. The last time we hear of Joseph is when Jesus is 12 years old and stays behind the temple when they went to Jerusalem. That's the last time we hear of Joseph. We got no idea what happened to him. But he was there. What could God do with a bunch of people that would silently and obediently obey him every time he moved? Within our society today, think about it. Even within our church today, think about how many, I'm going to use this term, how many mixed marriages do we have with their stepchildren? Or half children, or use whatever terminology you want, but there's a mixture. How many times in those families do we see the animosity, the jealousy, the differential treatments between yours, mine, and ours, and all this stuff? Look at our society today. How many times do these things happen? If we had a bunch of Josephs or Josephines, how could we change that? Because, you see, one of the things you don't know, and I'm from one of these products. Potential is affected when people aren't loved the way they need to be. When children aren't accepted for who they are and aren't loved within a home environment, we've got study after study now that shows us that that's where things go wrong. It can be where it shapes a person to go over here to be a habitual felony. Or in loving environments, we can see where people that should have ended up in jail suddenly become CEOs of companies and things. Love can make all the difference. The home environment can make all the difference. The way people are appreciated or accepted within the society, whether it be within our society, out the doors, or even within our church, can shape a person and can make things better for them. We need a whole lot of Josephs and Josephinas today. You know, people that will do what God tells you. God tells us you're not supposed to gossip. So when we go to the water cooler at break, we're not going to talk about Joe over there or Jimmy or even Mary, who, you know, they're having an affair, but we're not going to talk about that because that's not supposed to do that. You know, are people that God says, I want you to be honest. No, you can't claim that on taxes because you didn't really give it. What would God do with things like that? Or this one. God's urging you to give a little extra to the feeding program, but man, that new computer's out and I really need that computer. Actually, I don't need it. I want it. But, you know, I really need that new computer. So I'm not going to give that money to that because I'm going to go buy that computer with that money, God. I earned it. I deserve it. It's my Christmas present to me. So because you do that, you don't receive a blessing and three families go hungry. These things happen. How would God change our world if we would go out and silently and obediently obey him the way Joseph did? You see, here's something I think. I think Joseph is showing us something that we're going to read about in Peter. 1 Peter 4:8, Peter told us this: above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. Joseph got that, apparently. He married Mary. He took Jesus and raised him as his own. He went through whatever hardships there was because of the love he had for her, for Jesus, and for God. But notice what it says. Love covers a multitude of sin. You see, because here's what I really think about Joseph. That after he married Mary, it didn't matter how it happened. He accepted her. He took her. Yes, I think he honestly and rightfully so believed that she had been faithful. But at that point, it didn't really matter to him because he loved her that much. Can we love people enough to forgive and overlook and not even bring up things in the past? Because if we can, that's when we become children of God. That's when we're doing what we need to be. Just as Joseph knew love can change people, we need to remember that. And need to remember that the way we treat others and the love that we show them can forgive them and forgive us. Just as I was talking about those kids. When those kids are loved, even though they know they've done something wrong, when they're loved, they can turn around. If all they're ever done is berated, they're probably going to keep acting out. And that doesn't mean you don't want to put a switch on them every once in a while. I don't care what DCS says, you know, but you need to love them in a way. God's love transformed Joseph and Mary in the Holy Family. God's love can transform us, our family. God's love can transform our attitude in our circumstances. But can we be silent and not moan and groan about it and be obedient when God leads us? Take your connection card, if you will. Because of what we've heard, how we've talked about Joseph today, can your first step be to memorize 1 Peter 4:8, which was the one above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin? And as you memorize that, remember that love covers a multitude of sin. You don't have to hold it against somebody. You can love them. It's not your job to forgive them. As you know, it is your job to forgive them, but God's got to forgive them also. And they have to forgive themselves. And sometimes it's your love that helps them forgive themselves. Or maybe you can check this one, that you'll look for the good in others instead of the bad. Because don't we do that all the time? Well, you know what she did to him. I'm going to watch her like a hawk. There's nothing good in her. And yet, you don't know the whole story. And they may be a better person than you are. But you don't know it. And if we looked for good at others instead of the bad, would it help us treat people differently? Or maybe you can check this one. I'll love others unconditionally. That's what Joseph showed us. He was a forerunner, if you will, of Jesus' love. An unconditional love. Or maybe we can check the last one. That we'll trust God in all things. Because I am sure. I'm positive. When Mary said, I'm pregnant, I'm sure Joseph did not want to trust. But he did. God spoke to him. He said, okay, I'll do it. We can trust God in all things. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, I thank you for Joseph. I thank you for the other saints that have lived through the ages that we may not know about, but that have obeyed you and done what you told them when things were tough. Jesus, who obeyed you to the point of the cross. The apostles who obeyed you to the point of death. Others down through the years, such as Martin Luther and John Wesley and others that have obeyed you, even though it cost them. Lord, help us obey you. Help us to obey you not out of fear, but out of love. Help us to obey you because you love us so much. And may that love fill us to help us love others the way you love us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Ushers, if you would come forward, we'll receive our offering at this point. Lord, we come before you and we give back to you a portion of what you've given us. Let us do so joyfully. Your word says it's more blessed to give than receive. Let us give knowing that we're touching people's lives and changing people. Let us give knowing that this church is a light in this community and people are responding to your call and that we're able to transform lives and point people to Jesus Christ because of what you do with our gifts. Bless both gift and giver now, we ask in your name. Amen. And as the ushers pass, if you would stand and join as Bob leads us in our hymn.